Time is running out on the Iowa Hawkeyes. Bohannon for three. Long range. No. Clock ticks. And we're coming to the end. And the Tennessee Volunteers survive and advance. The Vols are going back to the Sweet 16.
Once it got to overtime, I thought we really responded the way that we needed to. But it shouldn't have gotten to that point. But and I think because it did, you got to give all the credit to Iowa. And the fact that they took advantage of some of our silly turnovers.
And somehow, some way, the Tennessee Volunteers managed not to blow the biggest lead in the history of the NCAA tournament.
Survive and advance. That's the name of it.
Survive and advance. So, I guess. But two games in a row, the Vols have come out in the first half. And we sat here on Friday, Floyd, on Fireball Hot Take Friday. We sat here and we said, okay, you know, they're up 12 on Colgate at the half. They'll come out there, put their foot down. It'll be 20, and then the Vols will move on to the second round. And then they didn't do it. And then yesterday, Wally Szczerbiak makes the excuse at halftime of, hey, the early tip time has clearly affected Iowa. And did you hear Barkley at halftime? Barkley's like, they could play this game at 9 o'clock at night. They could play this game at 3:30, and Tennessee would still beat them down because they're that much better and that much more physical and that much more talented. And Barkley was giving it to Iowa in that regard. And then Iowa comes out in the second half, makes a couple of shots right here. Rick Barnes refuses to call timeout. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, at some point, like you figure when the 25-point lead gets down to like 7, you know, the coach would get up and say, hey, timeout. You know, let's talk this out. Let's slow it down a little bit. Not from Rick Barnes, which well, that's a whole nother subject. Admiral Schofield takes himself out of the game, which that's a whole nother thing to discuss. And yet, thanks to Lamonte Turner and Grant Williams, the Tennessee Volunteers somehow, some way survive and advance, and they play in Louisville against a Purdue team that if they do anything like they did in the first two games, Purdue will kick their rear ends on Thursday. But you know what? The Vols are in the Sweet 16. End of story. I mean, I don't even know what to make of yesterday's game.
I don't either. I mean, it was such a lopsided event both ways. I mean, how you can get this far into the tournament and have a couple of teams, tournament-wise, tournament-savvy, play that poorly. I mean, at spells, it was just awful basketball. Awful. And neither team could take advantage of it. You know, you figure you jump out ahead the way they did and lighten it up and everybody, I mean, front runners. You know, Tennessee was a front runner. Then all of a sudden it got in the second half, and things started getting a little bit hard, and a bunch of those Tennessee guys just wilted. I mean, they disappeared. And
not
then
Lamonte.
When they got into overtime, Williams came back, won the thing for them, and thank goodness he was there. It was funny because he kind of, you know, even he was a little bit up and down. But when it came to the money part of it, I mean, you can see why he's SEC Player of the Year, MVP, whatever he is.
Well,
I mean, all those things.
I disagree. I think Lamonte Turner was the MVP yesterday, but that's neither here nor there.
But we know what you think about Lamonte.
But do you know who the real MVP was for the Vols in overtime? Number four for Iowa, Moss, who thought he was Allen Iverson when they started overtime. Did you notice that number four for Iowa turned the ball over like three times, jacked up stupid shots, and then came out of the game? And Iowa was now down like 7 to start overtime. If it's not for Moss from Iowa deciding that he's the next Allen Iverson when they started overtime, Iowa might win that game. I think Iowa is an okay team. I mean, they are not. I watched Purdue beat my Final Four pick, Villanova. I watched Purdue put that foot up, you know, Villanova. And I'm telling you, if the Vols do anything like they did yesterday in the second half, they'll lose to Purdue by 25 points. And it's like mind-boggling to me because when you make the Sweet 16, when you're at a program that doesn't consistently make the Sweet 16, like I heard Gonzaga's been to like 5 straight. So going to the Sweet 16 for Gonzaga is really not that big of a deal. It's not a big deal for Duke. It's not a big deal for Carolina. It's a big deal for Auburn. I mean, it is a big deal when you don't usually go to the Sweet 16 to go to the Sweet 16. Tennessee does not usually go to the Sweet 16. So – we should be sitting here today saying, Vols in the Sweet 16. Way to go, Vols. Here they go as a 2 seed. We'll see how it plays out. But now they've only got to win 2 more games, and they're in Minneapolis for the first time in the Final Four. And yet, here I am at 2:06 today saying, I don't even know if this team's any good. I mean, I just don't even know what to say about this team anymore. I mean, I watched that first half, and I'm like, okay, Vols are running them out of this building. Iowa, you know, they can't even dribble today, so they're out. And the Vols will head on, and they'll play Purdue and just keep the momentum. And Schofield looks like he's really turning it around, and they're really getting it. And then next thing you know, you're watching the game just unfold, and you're watching the Vols just every time down the floor. You know, here comes Jordan Bowden, up, turnover. Here comes Jordan, but turnover. Here comes Iowa, and one. I mean, there are – I'm watching this game like, what are they doing out there? And, of course, what Rick Barnes just sits there in his chair. At no point did he get up and think, you know what, let's call timeout. How about a little timeout? You know, Iowa's on a 19-2 timeout. Nope. So, I don't know, Floyd. It's just – it's so – they did make the Sweet 16. Like, that should be yes. But
well,
it's,
they came
I
back
I don't
in
feel
overtime
that
when they came back. I mean, when they got into overtime and they had to find a way to win it. I mean, I missed like the first minute of overtime, got back, and I think they were up by 7 or something. You know?
Oh,
so,
then you missed Moss play hero ball
so
for
they,
Iowa.
Yeah, they had to, you know, they had to jump out and find a way to score some points and, you know, get over the hump. And I don't know what you can count on with the team. You know, you can't count on them being consistent. You can't count on them playing 2 good halves. You can't count on them, and maybe that's true with a bunch of teams. You know, maybe that's true of college basketball in general. But I would like to think, I mean, you know, as bad as Iowa was in the first half, and they were easy to make fun of because they were so bad, I mean, Tennessee was equally as bad in the second half.
They were so bad.
So whatever you said about Iowa, you just saved it till the second half for Tennessee. Here you go. And whatever you said good about Tennessee in the first half, you just gave it to Iowa in the second half. Okay, here we go. So I don't know. I mean, it was very up and down. It was really perplexing, and I think a little bit. I mean, I've said since I've been watching them that you know, this team is just too inconsistent for me. I just can't. I've seen them play the bad teams and play, I mean, Vandy right to the hill. I mean, they're a penalty away, you know, a foul away, and they end up getting it. And then you see a game like last night where you're up by 25 or whatever it was, and yet it goes into overtime. Are you kidding me? So I don't know. I mean, they're lucky to play the teams they played so far. I mean, really, Purdue, of these remaining 16 teams, and I would have to think about who's in it, but Purdue may be the easiest draw of the group.
Although Purdue, boy, they put it on Villanova Saturday.
Yeah, but I think they're probably, you know, one of the easier bottom couple of teams.
I mean, it's not Michigan State
playing any of the Blue Bloods. And so, you know, I think that will give them a chance. But, I mean, it's going to depend so much on how they play. And I don't care who the opponent is. They'll be up and down. I don't care how good you are or how bad you are. They'll be up and down. You can count on that.
Oh, they could play North Carolina, and it'd be a one-possession game at the very end. And, you know, Grant Williams hits a shot, and they beat North Carolina. Or Schofield, if he decides he wants to play, Schofield hits a shot, and they win a game. Or they could play North Carolina A&T, and it could
same
be a
one-possession
yeah. game at the same end of the game, and if they make the shot, then they make. And that is, again, like, I'm thinking about the other SEC teams. Kentucky beats Wofford in what was a great game, and great for Kentucky that dude from Wofford forgot how to shoot, because that was, you know, if that guy makes 1-3, it's probably an entirely different game. But Kentucky beats Wofford, and I walked away from that game saying, great game, Kentucky, to play the way they did without P.J. Washington and Cal's game plan.
Oh, they're playing. What do they have? They have 4 freshmen.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They were running them in there.
I mean, they've got guys you never even heard of. playing in the
Jamarl
game.
Baker or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so you. I mean, I'm looking at Cal and the defense they played on Fletcher McGee, and I'm thinking, great job, Cal. Great job, Kentucky. You watch Auburn and what they did to Kansas on Saturday, and you're thinking, great job, Auburn. So you're looking at these SEC teams like really good job, and then you're looking at the Vols. I mean, they're in the Sweet 16, so good job, Tennessee. Good job, Rick Barnes. But both games they played were like, I mean, oh, my God, second half, what are you doing? Especially this game. And, again, Barnes, I tell you, this guy, he must be one of these great practice coaches who get you a lot better in practice. But his coaching during the games is just – he didn't do anything yesterday. The number one coaching move that ended up working out, which, by the way, had they lost, would have been the biggest discussion of the whole thing. The number one coaching move was to take Schofield out, who apparently Schofield's the one who made the coaching move to take Schofield out. Barnes didn't call timeout. Barnes didn't change things up yesterday. Barnes just let him play and just let him blow a 25-point lead. And so, to me – The Rick Barnes we've seen in the two games in this tournament, in the second half, Colgate and Iowa, that is the Rick Barnes that has choked away NCAA tournaments for years at Texas. But he is in the Sweet 16, and I mean, what are you going to say? They're in the Sweet 16. So you want to be mad, but they are in the Sweet 16. So I don't even know how to feel about Tennessee today. I feel great about Auburn. Feel really good about UK. Now, they're going to have – I mean, obviously, Auburn's going to have a tough game against North Carolina. UK's going to have a tough game against – who's UK playing? They play somebody who's doing pretty well in the tournament. I forget. I mean, Houston. UK's going to have a tough game against you. All that. But, I mean, I don't even know. So, that's how we're starting the show today. Now, just so everybody knows – I did predict the Predators were going to win 4-1 on Twitter on Saturday. The Predators did the exact opposite of that, losing 5-0. We will get to the Predators at 3 o'clock. So if you're wondering, when am I going to go crazy about the Predators? I may not go crazy, but whenever we're going to, we will get to the Predators at 3 o'clock. We're starting the first hour on the Vols and the NCAA tournament and what in the world happened yesterday. So let's open up the phones. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. 71025 is the number for you to get in. And again, here's the question. How do you feel about the Vols after the game last night? But they are in the Sweet 16, so there is that. 615-737-1025. And where was Rick Barnes yesterday? We'll get to that next. We're live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. in Mount Juliet. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 1025. The game is streaming on the Game National app.
Lamonte Turner, I thought, was key in setting the tone in the game early. I thought we were aggressive. We came out and played the way when the first half, like we do when we're playing our best basketball. But second half, we talked about the first 4 minutes, and we didn't do what we said we wanted to do in terms of, again, coming out, setting the tone. And Grant continued to pick up some silly fouls and Admiral, and that changed the flow of the game. His foul in the last, minute and a half of the first half was a dumb foul, and that changes the game a little bit. And then he picked up another one trying to take a charge. And we just weren't a real smart team when we had to lead.
Rick Barnes there on the second half. I have to ask before we go to the phones, why at no point during that Iowa comeback did Rick Barnes call timeout? I mean, if you wanted to come out in the first 4 minutes, say, okay, first 4 minutes, Floyd, we got to put it on them. We got to put our foot on their throats, and we got to put the pedal to the metal. And you come out, and who was it, Cook from Iowa, the post player? Cook was just taking it to the Vols. And you could tell that Fran McCaffrey at Iowa had really gotten up their rear ends at halftime because they were pushing, and they were, I mean, Iowa was ready to fight now to start the second half. And
they were a physical team, and they knew they were physical, and I think they, he was mad because they weren't playing that way. You know, they're playing very passively.
And then, so where's Rick Barnes to get up there when it, okay, it's cut to 14 to say, hey, timeout. Hey, guys, what are we doing here? Okay, let's collect ourselves. Let's calm down. What are we doing here? Every other coach in basketball, except for Roy Williams, would have gotten up at some point and called timeout and would have at least addressed it. And Barnes just sat there in his chair. And so, again, I think that's, you know, I think the Texas fans, you saw a lot of it on Twitter yesterday during the game of the, this is the Rick Barnes in March, we know. And somehow, some way, Moss for Iowa helped win Tennessee the game. That, and as, of course, Rick Barnes pointed out in that clip right there, Lamonte Turner. He was just fantastic yesterday for Tennessee. Defense, offense, passing, shooting. He was great. Williams had some big buckets. Let's go to your phones. As always here on the show, you will never give Lamonte Turner his due.
You're delusional.
Let's go to Josh, who's going to kick us off today. He's been waiting patiently. What's up, Josh?
Oh, not much, gentlemen. One thing I will say, Jared, to some extent I can understand your trepidation as far as Rick Barnes not calling a timeout. And, you know, let's just be honest. I've been listening to you guys for a long time, and, you know, you're not exactly the most forgiving to coaches, but I digress. What I'll say is, as far as Rick Barnes not calling a timeout, I think part of the reason why he didn't do that is because when you see the Krzyzewskis and the Calipari's, they're dealing with a whole bunch of freshmen. He has a lot of seniors, a lot of juniors. He's got a lot of experienced guys. And to his, you know, and to some extent it can be a detriment, but he might have just turned around and decided he wasn't going to call a timeout because he figured, I've got experienced guys. They know what they're doing. They need to figure it out on their own. Kind of like what Phil Jackson or sometimes Popovich will do in the NBA. Hey, these guys are experienced. They've been here before. Let them figure it out. And I think that's the reason why he didn't call a timeout.
Yeah, if Popovich is blowing a 25-point lead, Popovich calls timeout. I mean, that's the
Well, once the 25 points is gone, but at 14, he, you know, if you get anything, I think Popovich is more likely to call a 20-second timeout, put them all in a huddle and say, figure it out, and then walk off and yell at somebody else.
Sure.
That's usually what he does.
Sure. Thank you, Josh. Sure. But what did Barnes do yesterday? The only coaching decision that worked out was, again, the one that I still don't even know what to make of, and that's Admiral Schofield taking himself out of the game at the end of the game and not putting and keeping him out of overtime. But that was Admiral Schofield that said, "Hey, coach, don't play me," which, again, I don't even know what that did. The one thing that I would say is I thought Rick Barnes, when Admiral had three and he kept Admiral stashed on the bench, I was like, okay, you got to come back with Admiral. And you just have to trust that Admiral Schofield's not going to go in there and pick up a fourth foul. And immediately Schofield went back in the game and picked up a fourth foul. So you do have to look at Rick Barnes there and say, hey, I mean, you tried. You know, I mean, I understand that. The rest of it, I don't know. Again, I don't even know how to feel about this team. This team is in the Sweet 16 at a school where the Sweet 16 is not something you take for granted. If you're Carolina and you did this, you should be mad because you should be in the Sweet 16 at Carolina. They ain't Carolina. And yet everybody's still, at least me, you, I mean, we're kind of all worked up about yesterday's game.
Well, I mean, I think, the reality is being the number one team in the country for a month or whatever they were, I think people were expecting at least this. I mean, I thought they would make, I thought their upside was next week, the 8. I thought if they can make it to the Elite Eight, then that's as good as they're going to get. And I think I still feel the same way. And I'm not sure they'll make it there. But this is what I felt about with coaching. How long do you think Barnes has been a head coach?
Like 30 years.
Think he's ever had a meeting about when they were going to call timeouts and when not to call timeouts and whether you should or shouldn't and why you would and why you wouldn't? What, maybe 10,000 meetings? I mean, they have had meetings about when to call forever before he was ever a head coach. I mean, I'm sure every scenario he has thought out back and forth 1,000 times.
Great. He's thought wrong. He needs
and
to call timeout when you're losing a 25-point lead.
And I think because some radio announcer in Nashville, Tennessee, thinks he's wrong, he might not be wrong.
Did you not think Barnes should have called timeout at some point
in
that second
clue.
Half?
I have never coached a basketball game in major college basketball. I coached one in sixth grade.
and if they were blowing a 25-point lead, you would have called timeout.
But I would say this, and if I got into major college or I even got into big-time high school basketball, I mean, I wouldn't know how to coach a game. I would have no clue. I mean, do you call a timeout when everybody else in the world is thinking you should call a timeout? I think sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. I mean, I think you see this in every sport. So it's hard for me to get in such an uproar over a coach because of a timeout. Because it's not like –
He didn't slow the game down.
It's not like
stop
they
it
haven't
when
discussed
crazy.
This before. It's not like they haven't been through this 100,000 times ad nauseum.
Okay, well, Kay's had meetings and Cal's had meetings, and Kay and Cal call timeout. So if Cal's going to call timeout when things get out of hand, Cal's must have had the same amount of meetings.
But I'm sure.
And again, Cal has a better resume than Barnes. Cal's
this,
a better coach.
If I was a major college coach for 40 years, I wouldn't be looking at anybody else and saying, well, he called a timeout. That means I should call a timeout? No.
If the only consistent in my career was that I crap my pants during the NCAA tournament, as is Rick Barnes's case, maybe I'd do things a little bit differently. Maybe I would look at the other guys that don't poop their pants as much as I do.
I think we went through this last week, didn't we? They had one number one seed, made it to the Final Four. Two number one seeds made it to the Elite Eight. And here they've got a, what, number two seed?
That was one caller.
And it looks like they're going to make it to the Elite Eight, in my mind. So if they make it that far, I mean, I don't, you know, it's not a disappointment. You know, is it as good as you want? No, it never is, unless you're carrying home the trophy. But
I mean,
it's just
Barnes
hard
sucks
for me.
In the tournament.
Well, you think every coach in every sport, no, every coach
Cal,
in football and basketball.
I think Cal's doing a good job. I thought Cal coached a great game against
Wofford.
That's great. When Fletcher McGee doesn't hit a three, that means Cal has a great game.
Coach K, I mean, everybody that wins coaches a great game. I understand that.
I didn't think K coached a great game.
And then everybody that loses or everybody that doesn't play as well as you want.
I thought one of the best coaching jobs was Johnny Dawkins at UCF yesterday. I thought UCF had a great game plan. I thought Dawkins, I mean, he knows Duke inside and out. So they lost. Again, I'm not just about winning or losing, but what's Barnes doing to change the game yesterday when they're falling apart? He didn't do anything. Let's go to Brad, who's up next here on the show. What you got, Brad?
Hey, guys. Two things about this one. I think it was a perfect game for Tennessee. It's exactly who they are. They beat Kentucky by 20, and they barely beat Vanderbilt the next night. I mean, the dichotomy of this team, it's pretty funny, actually. It was the perfect game. The other thing, too, that analysts were saying afterwards, all he had to do was play four corners for 25 seconds every possession and hand the ball to the referee. I mean, talk about slowing the game down. They were laughing. The analysts were laughing after the game. All he had to do was take their time, shoot a shot, and let the game wind down. And to your point, Jared, of slowing the game down with a timeout, I mean, crazy. You know, it's pretty funny, actually. And they could never get away with this with the teams they're coming up against. And they're probably the fourth best, maybe the fifth best team in the SEC behind Auburn, LSU, Kentucky. You know, it's just they're not that good. They never were. And they went on sheer talent and overtime and athletic ability, and that was it. But the coaching was horrible. It has been horrible. It's actually pretty funny. It was a perfect game for Tennessee for the year.
Well, thank you, Brett. Here's my problem with kind of your take on this about, well, with the teams in front of them, they can't do this. And I think we all agree with that, right? Like, they can't play the way they played in the second half of Colgate or Iowa
right. In
any game that they'll play the rest of the way. I don't expect them to. I expect them to go toe-to-toe with Purdue, and it'll be a close game at the end, and we'll see what happens. And then if they get Virginia, I expect the same thing. And then if they get Carolina, and then if they get Duke, like, that's who they are. Route Kentucky one day, almost lose to Vandy the next day. I don't know.
I don't either.
I mean, they beat Kentucky, which if I had to rank the SEC teams right now, I would probably rank them Kentucky 1, Auburn 2, Tennessee 3, LSU 4. And they beat Kentucky in one of the best games of the year, and the next day get utterly obliterated by Auburn. Like, that's just what they – there's no explanation for this team, in my opinion. 615-737-1025. Back to your phones on the Vols. 615-737-1025. And here we are a little kind of getting crazy about Tennessee when they played a close game. They're not the only ones who played a close game, and we're not down on those teams. So what does that mean? We'll get into that. And, of course, your phones. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Baseball pass. Jackson lets it fly. That's it. Survive and advance for the undermanned Kentucky Wildcats.
If winning is a relief, it's time to retire. Now, I maybe not be showing it right now, but I danced in that locker room. I am ecstatic when my team wins.
So that was Cal after their win over Wofford.
That's great.
And here we are. So Kentucky barely hangs on to beat Wofford. And Duke barely hangs on to beat Central Florida, and no one is down on them like we're down on the Vols because they didn't blow a 25-point lead. So, I mean, are we a little too hard on the Vols because they blew a 25-point lead when we should look at it like we do with Kentucky, where they beat a Wofford team and we're like, great game, Kentucky. Great. Well, I mean, I'm not really saying great game, Duke, but I'm not down on Duke like I'm down on Tennessee after blowing a 25-point lead. Am I right or wrong?
Well, but I mean, the Kentucky team that played Wofford was not the Kentucky team that we played.
No, that's like when Blaine Gabbert plays quarterback for the Titans.
I mean, that team was four freshman guys I'd never even heard of. So for them to go up against what looked like a pretty good Wofford team and come out with a win, that is a pretty good win and something to be proud of, I think. You know, you had none of your big guys. I mean, they were all done. And so, you know, you're playing with guys that have not played a lot of basketball, yet they found a way. I mean, I think that's a little bit of an excuse for them. And they didn't even say that. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's just me watching. But I think in Tennessee's case, I mean, they had all their guys. Now, they didn't play them all, but they had them all.
One of them volunteered out of the game.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. But anyway.
Only 40 years of coaching, working with Tom Brady. And never heard of, take me out, coach.
Get to the most important part of the game. Every guy that's worth his salt should be saying, pass me the ball. Give me the ball. Let me shoot the ball. I want to be the. And where's he? He's on the bench.
Leave Kyle Alexander
on the
in.
Floor. I'm going, what is this guy doing?
Well, and then how about Barnes draws up the shot at the end for Bone? What's Bone doing taking the shot at the end of the game? Where's Schofield sitting there on the bench?
And it was a bad shot. It was not good.
Back to your phones. By the way, is your bracket busted? Enter the 16-team game bracket challenge to win great prizes. Brackets must be submitted 15 minutes prior to the first game on Thursday. Go to thegamenashville.com to sign up for the 16-team bracket. Now brought to you by Sutton Service and Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We go to
Tom.
Wait.
Do we need to talk a second about brackets?
No. Tom.
Oh, wait.
Who's, Tom's been waiting for a long
Tom
time.
Tom
waited
now there
phone.
For a couple of minutes. I mean, we were talking about who. I mean, I think somebody was making fun of my bracket. And now this morning you come in and what was it you said?
Floyd may have the greatest bracket in the history of brackets.
Okay.
In an all chalk bracket in which Floyd has all ones and twos playing each other in the Elite Eight, it has literally been, outside of UC Irvine and Oregon, it has been an all chalk tournament. I mean, it has been an all chalk tournament. Let's go to your phones. Tom has been waiting patiently, and Floyd made him wait a little bit longer. He's up next. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, guys. Great tournament. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Tennessee, yeah, they got their problems. I think what it is conditioning sometimes. Seems like they just run out of gas. And, I'm a big UK fan, but I'm concerned about Kentucky. I don't think Washington's coming back. And also, you know how I feel about that hook-nosed Blue Devil. I think he must have made a pact with the devil in order to win these close games like they do.
You know what? I text my dad. Thank you, Tom.
That one he won last night. Wow.
I text my dad after that ball didn't go in for UCF, and I said, the Lord must be rooting for Duke.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I mean, we know sometimes the refs wear a little blue, or at least their calls, you know, favor Duke. And I think that's just a natural thing when you're the best team. The Patriots get the calls. Alabama gets calls. You know, that kind of thing. But, I mean, for those two baskets to not go in at the end of the game, and, I mean, you could see Kay, he was just stunned over there on the sidelines. And there's nobody who's more gracious in winning or losing than Kay.
Yeah.
And Kay was just beside himself. And I just felt so bad for Dawkins and Dawkins' son and Taco and the rest of that UCF. I mean, UCF, that was a great game last night. I will say this. You know how they had all the other games after that game?
Yeah.
I was kind of basketballed out at that point. I mean, I watched a little bit of this and that in Virginia. And I watched it, but it just – I mean, after the stress of the LSU game, following the stress of the Kentucky game, followed by John Morant and my disappointment in them not doing anything interesting in that game, and then Auburn blowing out Kansas, and then the Tennessee stress, and then the Duke stress, I think I was all basketballed out at that point to watch, like, Buffalo and Texas Tech. But, I mean, what a game. I mean, those were all great games. LSU was a great game. Kentucky was a great game. Tennessee shouldn't have been a great game, but was a great game. Duke was a great game. I mean, this is great games this weekend, all in all.
All came down to last shot type games.
Oh, goodness. And the one with UCF. I mean, when Zion.
I don't know how you. I mean, I see more of those kind of shots. Just all you have to do is lay it up against the backboard or put a little English on it or do something to it. I see more of those missed than I've ever seen.
I told
my
dad,
big guys.
It's turned into women's basketball. I can't make a layup. It's unbelievable. It's, you know, and I've always told people with women's basketball, like, the thing that you've got to. Like, the number one thing that they've got to get out of that game to get people interested in is you got to stop missing every layup. And that, I mean, they're missing way too many layups in some of these games. Iowa. I mean, how many things did Iowa screw up yesterday at the end of that game and in the second half in overtime, where if Iowa doesn't screw it up, Iowa probably takes the Vols down? I mean, Iowa, they couldn't. First off, they couldn't make a free throw in the first half.
Couldn't make a free throw. Then they couldn't get a rebound.
Couldn't catch.
Yeah. Jeez, awful.
Let's go to Sam, who's up next on Tennessee. 615-737-1025. What's up, Sam?
Hey, guys. Back on the Barnes thing, I think he's got the history with Texas that everybody looks at. But I think he's got a unique team here with the leadership, someone said earlier. And he lets them play, and that's his style. I thought he missed an opportunity. When Fulkerson got pushed twice, I would have lost it and gotten a technical foul to send a message to my team if I was a coach to get them fired up. And I think he should have called timeout, but I will say there were a couple times it was close to the 12 in the 8 minute when he was going to get a natural timeout. But I don't have a problem with the way he managed it. I think he's got a unique team that's full of leaders, and he's done that all year.
So I would agree with you on one thing. Thank you for your call, Sam, about Barnes. He is right that there were a couple times where Iowa went on their runs right before the 12 and 8 minute timeout.
Right.
And as a coach, you don't want to take the timeout because you know at the next dead ball it's going to be a timeout. So I don't want to burn my timeout to do that. And I understand that. But I remember there were a couple where there were shots. And the one thing I'm pretty good at for some reason is I'm pretty good watching a game when I see something go in that I'm like, timeout. And you can see the coach almost do the exact same thing. There were like four times yesterday. I'm sitting there in the living room watching Iowa make a shot. I'm like, timeout, timeout. And I look over when Tennessee comes down and Barnes is sitting in the chair. I'm like, timeout, call timeout. This is just me. Tennessee does have a veteran group. And I understand the idea of Barnes letting them play. For someone who's watched this team all season, I don't feel like Tennessee's veteran guys have demonstrated the traits of a veteran, the consistency and those kind of things, to where I wouldn't feel the need to micromanage a game like that when it's starting to get out of hand.
I just don't see the guys that we call – Bone is the closest to me. As a guy that you can go out there every night and count on something, mm-hmm. You know, and the position he plays and the way he plays doesn't necessarily mean lighting it up on the scoreboard, but you're going to be a productive player. You're going to do something to help us win. And I've got a pretty good feel for what it is that you're going to do. I'm not sure how many of those other guys you can count on with that. I mean, Williams, you'd say, would be the next. Yeah, but after that, I mean, you can throw it up in the air for me. I don't know what I'm going to get from any of those guys.
Well, it's like Admiral doesn't do anything for the entire Colgate game, then hits the two most important shots at the end of it. Then Admiral comes out of this game hitting everything, and you're like, okay, Admiral has decided I'm going to put the team on my back. And then Admiral doesn't want to go back in the game at the end of the game.
For a half. I mean, he got 13 points in the first half or whatever it was. Second half, what did he get, two? I mean, it was like nothing.
And they all do that. Where was Williams? You know, in the second half when things weren't going well. Now, Williams came up big at the end of the game.
Overtime,
but
yeah.
Where was Williams, you know, to make sure that they didn't lose the 25-point lead?
He
went to bed, too.
I don't know what happens with those guys.
Turner was the one guy who kept them in that game when Iowa was going on the run. Turner had a beautiful drive and dish to Williams. He had a big three-pointer. He had a couple big plays on defense. And then he had the play on defense. Maybe the worst call of the NCAA tournament was the Lamonte Turner blocked three-pointer where they called a foul and gave Iowa three shots. That was horrible. I couldn't believe that. That was unbelievable. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on the tournament. Plus, quick little update on the Vandy coaching search. I'll share what I'm reading, and I'll share what I've heard. So we'll get to that, too, as Vanderbilt needs to get a better coach. So they're looking for one. And we'll get to that here on Jared and the GM. But first, let me tell the fine folks out there to join Team 1025 The Game for the St. Jude's Rock and Roll Marathon 5K with Derek Mason on Saturday, April 27th. If you can't participate, you can make a difference by donating to our team. All the donations will go to the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Visit thegamenashville.com to join or donate today. Jared and the GM, it is ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Inbound out to Taylor. Jones is on him. Taylor driving. Driving in. Banks it up. No. Put back. In and out. And Duke survives just barely.
Just the momentum of the tournament, the what's going on, you could be defeated right there. And instead, they hung in there.
Duke somehow, some way, wins last night over UCF. What'd you think of that?
Oh, I thought it was unbelievable. I mean, you can't, I don't know how much closer you can get. I don't know how you can have a better chance to not get it done. But that's the way it works. Like you said, I mean, you know, good Lord was wearing blue.
Yeah, he was rooting for Duke. You know that Kay, you know, Kay was talking about how much it hurts him to beat Johnny Dawkins like that because Johnny Dawkins was a longtime assistant at Duke.
Right.
And he knows his son. He knew, you know, obviously knew the kid when he was a kid and all of that. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, if you're UCF, you're on that plane, you must just be sick to your stomach.
Oh,
like you had it,
oh,
and the ball just didn't bounce your way.
I mean, you can't get any closer than that.
I mean, I think UCF lost the game when they missed the alley-oop dunk. You know, I thought they should have just tried to, you know, not alley-oop it, just make sure that you scored. But when they missed the alley-oop dunk, and then the other thing that got me, when Taco picked up his fifth foul on the Zion drive, and people say, well, Zion pushed off, and he did, and they missed it. But Taco's got to understand, if you're going to pick up your fifth foul, you've got a three-point lead, right? Was it a three-point lead or a two-point lead? I want to say it was a three-point lead. You've got a three-point lead, and here comes Zion. You've got to do one of two things. Either get out of the way and let Zion score so you don't foul out of the game, but your team still has the lead, or you got to foul him so that Zion can't get the bucket. You cannot let them get an and one in that situation. So if you're going to pick up five, you've got to foul so that they don't make the shot. And Taco was not wanting to foul, but he felt like he had to challenge the shot that Taco ends up fouling, and Zion gets the two. And then Zion misses the freaking free throw. And, of course, R.J. Barrett just puts it back up, and all of a sudden Duke's got the lead. I mean, those are the kind of things that, you know, UCF, yes, Duke found a way to win the game, but UCF, and all the credit to UCF for how well they played. But, I mean, if you're Taco, either foul him and make sure he doesn't get that ball near the hoop, or get out of the way, let him score, and keep your one-point lead so you don't foul out of the game.
Right.
Vanderbilt has a coaching search. And apparently Jeff Goodman at Stadium has kind of released his different, you know, his candidate list and who he would hire and who he thinks they'll hire and all these kind of things. One thing that he does note, and we talked about how Goodman kind of had a little insight in his Bryce Drew story on Friday, but I guess Goodman wrote in this article that Vanderbilt is not as hard. It's not as hard to get kids into Vanderbilt as maybe people would assume that it is hard to get kids into Vanderbilt. Goodman says that it's not as hard as you think it is to get the kids into Vanderbilt. I don't know what that means. Well, I mean, I know what
athletes,
that means, but I don't know if it's true.
Athletes?
Yeah, that it's not
hard
to get them in
private
there,
school. I mean, you can literally let in whoever you want.
So that if that's a hang-up, it shouldn't be because of that. Goodman says he would hire Thad Matta, the former Ohio State coach. Goodman says, I have spoken to him recently, and Matta seems much healthier than he was a couple years ago. He's clearly done the most of anyone on the list, and he'd be a nice fit at Vandy. Who he thinks they'll wind up with, Goodman writes, John Thompson III. He seems to have the most momentum, and he's coached a couple of academic institutions in Princeton and Georgetown. Let me just say this. I'm not against a guy who's been fired somewhere else, but if they bring in John Thompson, that will be the least inspiring hire that they could have brought in maybe across the board. And the one thing that Vandy may want to think about is hiring a coach who would at least bring some relevance to the program. Vanderbilt is like the least important thing in the town right now. Like the Nashville Knights, the women's football team, may have more interest right now than Vandy. That's how uninteresting Vandy is. So if you're Vandy, do you consider that at all when looking to hire a coach? Of, hey, who's a coach who can at least sell some tickets and get some people to care about Vandy basketball? Because right now we got the Titans and the Preds and the Vols and the rest of the SEC, and then, you know, like 17th on the list is Vandy. Do you even think about that, or you just hire the coach that's going to win the most, and then if you win, people will care?
Yeah, I don't think Vandy cares about any of it. I mean, I don't think – you know what? I think in Vandy's mind, they're going to sell the same number of tickets regardless of who the head coach is. Now, if that head coach puts together a program and they jump out there and win a whole bunch of games and win the SEC, then they'll sell a lot more tickets.
Well, they'll sell – like if they hire Rick Pitino.
Then they won't sell any more tickets and it won't make a difference.
I'm not saying that they're going to hire Rick Pitino because they're not. It's the most un-Vandy hire in the history of Vandy. But if they hired Rick Pitino, don't you think they'd sell more tickets?
I don't know. I don't. They might.
Hall of Fame coach who was still at his, you know, not at his peak, but was still at a high level until the cheating brought it. Like, I think that would make it at least a little interesting.
I think he's, where is he now, in Greece or someplace?
Yeah. Apparently he's linked to the Alabama job, though. There's some rumors that he may be in the mix at Alabama. The one thing I'm hearing on this is that Malcolm Turner has full authority to do whatever he wants. So that this is a Malcolm Turner hire. Now, nobody knows anything about Malcolm Turner. I mean, we've never interviewed him. He's never had a press conference. I don't think I've ever heard him. I don't think I have either.
I don't think I've heard his voice ever. I mean, I think I've read some articles where he's in the print media someplace where he's talked about whatever he's talked about, but I don't think, I mean, was he introduced at a press conference here?
I don't think so.
Only Vandy. Only Vandy.
I mean, there was some talk.
If you got an assistant professor in kinesiology, they'll have
press
full blown all the lights in the middle of a football stadium. But the AD for sports, oh, yeah, good. See ya. Here's your office over there. Don't bother us. That's great.
I guess, like, when he took the job or whatever. Like, Vandy tried to get him on the show or something. So we, like, I mean, I didn't, obviously, I don't handle who comes on the show and who doesn't come on the show. But they had, you know, I mean, our people were in touch with their people. Their people reached out to us and said, hey, would you guys want to, you know, have Malcolm on the show? And our people said, sure, you know, let's work something out so we can talk to Malcolm about his vision for Van, whatever. And either their people didn't get back to our people or...
or their people just said, now we're good. Yeah.
So their people reached out, but then their people said, now we're good.
We were just checking to see who really wanted them. We weren't going to give them to you. But if you wanted them, we wanted to keep track of those stations.
I mean, you were general manager of an NFL team.
Oh.
Could you imagine, like, taking the job and not meeting the press?
Oh, unbelievable.
Oh, goodness. Okay. So there's that. Now, we've done an hour on the Vols to the Preds. Saturday night, we have got to address the Predators, and I wanted to not go in the middle of an hour and do. I wanted to wait till 3 o'clock and full on address what we saw in the biggest game of the season, in which they got their butts kicked 5-0. So we will do that next here on Jared and the GM. You know who doesn't get their butts kicked? Doctors and nurses and medical salesmen that wear authentically American scrubs. That's right, authenticallyamerican.us/scrubs. These scrubs are wrinkle resistant. They are fade resistant. They are antimicrobial, which means that the germs come off. They are moisture wicking. They feel like workout clothes. I have a pair myself, and I absolutely love them. If you're somebody who wears scrubs, you need to give them a try. And not only are they that great, high-quality material, they're comfortable. They feel like workout clothes. When I wore them to work, everybody was like, wow, those look comfortable. And I'm like, yes, they are. But they're also great. and they're all made in the USA. That's what Authentically American does. Made in the USA, especially for your business. But if you run a clinic or a hospital, you've got to give Authentically American Scrubs a try. That's right. AuthenticallyAmerican.us/scrubs. So give them a try today. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game National app.